Well, the buzz in the media is about a lot of things, of course. Big news that you may have just heard at the top of the hour. Saddam Hussein's two sons are believed to have been killed in a raid there in Iraq. That was confirmed. Everybody's saying that's good news. Meanwhile, other buzz continues as well, not having anything to do with the war, but having to do with this movie that Mel Gibson, known for his piercing blue eyes, his good looks, and his acting ability, is producing, has produced, and is getting ready to release, called The Passion. You know, Bill Bright died, and he had produced, as part of his legacy, something called The Jesus Movie, a movie that probably most of you have seen at one time or another, The Jesus Movie. Mel Gibson, this movie called The Passion, has been catching heat from before the time he decided to make this movie. Mel Gibson, as you know, is a devout Roman Catholic. In fact, he is a Roman Catholic that still practices the Latin Rite, that is, the Mass in Latin. Decided that he was going to make a movie about the last 24 hours of the life of Jesus Christ before his crucifixion. Of course, not the last 24 hours of his life. That would be the last 24 hours of today, because he is alive and will never die again. But Mel Gibson decided he wanted to make a movie about the Passion of Jesus Christ. And he wanted it to be as true to form as possible. So he makes this movie that is bloody and violent. He makes this movie that is filmed in Latin and Aramaic, the languages being spoken commonly at the time of the crucifixion. No subtitles. No subtitles. And he wants to release this movie, and he has been catching heat for it. Now, in USA Today, Michael Medved, very well-known media critic, has a few things to say about this. You may have read this in the forum section of USA Today, Passion Elicits Unfair Conflict. I'll read parts of this commentary from Michael Medved to you here in just a moment. There's been a whispering campaign. This is what Rod Dreher of the Dallas Morning News is calling it, a whispering campaign against Mel Gibson's movie from almost the very beginning for a number of reasons and from various sectors. Hollywood, apparently, Hollywood has no problem with gore and blood if you're making a horror movie, but if you're making a movie about the death of the Son of God on a cross, they find that unacceptable. There are Jewish groups that are a little upset. The Anti-Defamation League is upset because of the light which this movie may cast upon Jews in the first century. Do you plan to see this movie when it is released, The Passion? Do you plan to go to the theater, not wait for video, but go to the theater and see it in all its technicolor, full screen, gore, violence, darkness, reality? It's Open Lines, the first hour of Issues, Etc. Today, I want to talk about the Passion movie. We talked recently with someone who had actually gone out on location, interviewed Mel Gibson himself in the midst of filming this movie. Raymond Arroyo of EWTN was the man. He said what he saw of the movie, and this was a couple months back, he saw a bit of the dailies put together in a semi-edited form. He said it was compelling. He says if it's anything, if the whole movie is anything like what he saw, it will rivet people in their theater seats. You know, so certain things are running through my mind, like a realistic depiction of the crucifixion as it may have actually looked. You know, no one can know exactly what it looked like, but as it may have actually looked, as realistic as possible. Is this a movie that you could let kids see? Is this a movie that you would want to see? Christians say, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the... What cross is it that you're glorying in? Is it the empty cross that's gilded in gold and silver in your church? The one that hangs around your neck? The wooden one with no Jesus on it? The crucifix that's got Jesus in a loincloth with no blood? What cross do we say we glory in? When Paul says, far be it from me to glory in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ, is he talking about a symbol? Or is he talking about what really happened on the hill of Golgotha 2,000 years ago? Do you plan to see the Passion movie? Give me a call during this hour. of open lines issues, etc. Michael Medved here in just a minute. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Will Whedon will join us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Part four of our 10-part series on the historic liturgy. We're going to get into the what's called the service of the word today and talk about the public reading of Holy Scripture. Why reading from the Old Testament, the Gospel, the epistles of Peter, Paul, the other apostles? We'll find that out in the second hour of the program. In the third hour, two guests, Pastor Scott Stigemeyer, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled War is Hell. We'll talk about war and hell. And then we'll round off today's conversation on issues, etc., talking with Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum. There's a new study released by the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development on the relationship between non-maternal care, that's an interesting way of putting it, non-maternal care and child aggression, daycare. Phyllis Schlafly in the last part of Issues, Etc. today. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, remember when we were talking about the Iraqi war before the Iraqi war actually kicked off, and I was asking questions again and again about whether or not the war is just, and I said, it's going to be too late for you to proffer your opinion after the war has begun or after it's over. I mean, those kind of opinions just don't count. The same is true of this Passion movie. I know you want to wait to see what it's going to be like. The big question that I have for you, I want your answer to it, is are you going to see it? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you're going to see it, what do you expect to see? If you're not going to see it, why? Heck, if you're going to see it, why? Why are you going just to see the thing that's making the big sensation in all of the media? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. The best callers during this hour of Open Lines as we talk about Mel Gibson's Passion will receive Brian Gadawa's book called Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Film with Wisdom and Discernment. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Come on, folks, I'm giving away books. I'm giving away books and asking you, are you going to watch The Passion? Are you going to go to the movie theater? You know, it raises another question. Not only is it something that kids can see, there are people who will not go to see violent films as a matter of principle. They consider it to be in bad taste. They consider it to be immoral violence in our culture. What if it is the violence being depicted that was perpetrated against the very Son of God on the cross in his trials? We refuse to see a depiction of that for any moral reasons. Can you eat popcorn and watch Jesus crucified at the same time? Hey, honey, while you're up, bring me back the large gulp Pepsi. Feeling a little thirsty watching Jesus there on the cross. I guess the question is this the right medium for such a depiction? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Here's what Michael Medved has to say in today's USA Today. Passion elicits unfair conflict. Bear in mind that Michael Medved is a Jewish man. He is not a Christian. He's often mistaken for a Christian for some reason. I don't know why. Any piece of pop culture that touches on serious religious themes inspires its share of controversy, writes Medved. But the noisy assaults on Mel Gibson's unfinished film, The Passion, which describes the final 12 hours in the life of Jesus Christ, seem unfair and painfully premature. Indignant denunciations of a movie that its critics haven't even seen, coming nearly a year before the picture's scheduled release, suggests an agenda beyond honest evaluation of the film's aesthetic or theological substance. The explosive charges of anti-Semitism being directed at this project may even threaten the emerging alliance between devout Christians and committed Jews. In March, the New York Times Magazine launched the controversy with a hostile story mentioning the movie and featuring an interview with Gibson's 84-year-old father, Hutton Gibson. According to the magazine, the old man questioned the commonly accepted figure of 6 million Jewish victims of the Holocaust and entertain conspiracy theories about 9/11. While employing guilt by association and attempting, without evidence, by the way, to connect the views of an obscure father to his world-famous son, the Times piece raised alarms about the possibly slanderous portrayal of Jews in the film's graphic depiction of the crucifixion. Meanwhile, writes Medved, the Anti-Defamation League and other groups devoted to combating anti-Semitism issued critical statements about The Passion based on an early draft of a screenplay that Gibson called a stolen script. Gibson insists that he altered the screenplay substantially since that early draft, but this didn't stop the ADL from issuing an angry statement on June 24th asking, quote, will the final version of The Passion continue to portray Jews as bloodthirsty, sadistic, and money-hungry enemies of Jesus? Will it portray Jews and the temple as the locus of evil? By the way, folks, that is not how the biblical account of the Passion portrays Jews. It portrays perhaps some. Judas, yes, money-hungry. Some members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council in Jerusalem, yes, bloodthirsty. I don't know what you call what you would call bloodthirsty if not people shouting, crucify him, crucify him, let his blood be upon our heads. That's bloodthirsty. Mocking him while he bleeds to death and asphyxiates on the cross. I would call that bloodthirsty. But those are only some. Many who watched him as he was carrying his own cross out of Jerusalem wept. So if this is an accurate depiction, as I'm assuming, I think, you know, if he wants to be accurate, it's going to be accurate to the biblical text, maybe it'll be an even-handed depiction. The ADL stands ready to advise Gibson's Icon Productions constructively regarding The Passion to ensure that the final production is devoid of anti-Semitic slander. Can you tell the story of Jesus' crucifixion as it is given to us in the Gospels without someone saying it's anti-Semitic? 505-780-2727. Medved continues, of course, the ADL might have advised the producers more constructively with a private phone call, a memo, or a meeting rather than with its thermonuclear press release. As it is, assaults on this unseen film leave Gibson in a painful predicament. If he ignores the Anti-Defamation League and other critics, he faces accusations of insensitivity. One of the greatest sins you can commit, by the way. Insensitivity. But if he responds to their condemnations by allowing activists to shape the picture's content, then he undermines his announced intention of sparing no expense, including $25 million of his own money, to create a film of fearless, uncompromising gospel authenticity. In fact, the worries about anti-Semitic messages in the upcoming epic seem overblown based on the known facts about the project. Of course, members of the religious establishment in ancient Judea came across badly in the New Testament accounts. But beyond these villains, the new movie boasts a Jewish hero, not to mention many other sympathetic Judeans, including Christ's disciples and mother. Moreover, Gibson emphasizes the Hebraic identity of the man from Nazareth. Production still shows actor Jim Caviezel as perhaps the most Semitic Jesus in cinema history. We've talked about this before, the Jesuses of the movies, how they're often speaking with British accents. They look a little bit more like John Lennon than they do like Jesus of Nazareth. White, tall, straight teeth, hair all neatly combed into place. Michael Medved says, if Jim Caviezel is the most Semitic Jesus in cinema history, it will be a welcome change from the Nordic messiahs in many previous films to make certain no one ignores the Jewish identity of Christ and the apostles. Gibson insisted that his actors speak nearly all of their lines in Aramaic, the language of ancient Judea, and a close cousin of Hebrew. Of course, Even the most responsible, well-intentioned movie treatment of the last hours of Jesus will provoke concern in the Jewish community because so many millions of Jews have suffered and died over the centuries due to gospel-based charges that they are Christ killers. But the fact that persecutors and bigots have distorted the teachings of the New Testament for their own cruel purposes doesn't mean that the gospel texts, sacred to all Christians, must be scrapped, revised, or ignored in a serious work of cinema. You know, when you think you can't admire someone more, suddenly they say something that makes you admire them more, like Michael Medved, who is a devout Jew, but is willing to concede that the New Testament is accurate. And it doesn't need to be edited for film. What do you think? Are you planning on seeing the movie or not? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Selena calling from her car. Selena, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hope I'm not giving too much static here. I was just wondering if they're only going to do the last 12 hours or 24 hours or whatever, what good is it if it's not going to go on and show what happened afterwards? Just the death on the cross is not where it ended.
But that's a very good question, Selena. Thank you. I don't know, and, you know, this movie has also, I think, probably raised the ire of critics in advance because it has been shrouded in secrecy. Gibson intentionally has been trying to keep the content of the movie secret. Well, by the way, if you got a script in Aramaic and Latin, most people aren't going to be reading it anyway, but he has intentionally tried to keep it under wraps wisely. I mean, for heaven's sakes. There are hardly any movies nowadays that are not being kept under wraps. People have discovered that what people don't know, they'll pay to see. So Gibson is being smart in that respect. I do not know if the movie includes the resurrection. What if it doesn't? That's a great question, Selena. What if it doesn't? What if it only depicts the crucifixion? I would find hard to believe, either by oversight or by intention, that Mel Gibson, the devout Catholic that he is, a Christian man, would stop the movie at the death and leave unresolved for those who were watching it what became of Jesus of Nazareth after 3 days in the tomb. Michael's calling from Pittsburgh. Michael, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. As to your question is, would you want to see if it was violent? I would think that would be probably part of the reason you'd have to see it, because part of the death was that he had to go endure all the violence that was issued upon him.
So in other words, let me see if I can get straight what you're saying. You're saying that the violence would, rather than be a deterrent to seeing the movie, as a Christian, it would be another thing pushing you towards seeing the movie.
Yeah, because if he didn't suffer the violence, the whippings and all the other stuff, it would make the cross seem less than it really was.
That's an excellent point. An excellent point. Michael, stay on the line. My producer can get your information. I'd like to send you a copy of Brian Godawa's Hollywood Worldviews. It's an excellent book. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Are you going to see the Passion movie? If so, why? If not, why not? I think, this is just my little private thought here, I think that this movie is going to be controversial, not only for the Anti-Defamation League and for Hollywood and who knows. I think, and I might be wrong in this prediction, I think it's going to cause a fervor among Christians. Christians who don't want to look into the face of a crucified Christ as it really was, but would prefer the sanitized, cleaned up, well-groomed Jesus. Or who might look at this movie and say, yeah, the crucifixion was violent, but it wasn't that violent. It was bloody, but it wasn't that bloody. They just want the reasonable trickle of blood coming down Jesus' forehead. I mean, think about it. There are churches that won't even put a cross in their sanctuary because they're afraid it will turn the seeker away. What are they going to do with Mel Gibson's Passion? Chet is calling from his car. Chet, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Pastor Ty.
Hello.
Well, you know, the thought that came to my mind is good at this point in time in human history that someone has a mind to put out a Jesus about, put out a movie about Jesus Christ the Savior. I mean, when you think about the uprise of Islam and, you know, political unrest all over the world, it's good. And, you know, the response from us Christians should be the opportunity to clarify where we stand on Jesus Christ, who he is, and what his purpose was for coming to save the entire world. This is a prime opportunity for us to unite, you know, as the church, to explain who Jesus is in the midst of Islam and all those other things I just mentioned, Pastor Ty. I think it's a good idea, and we should try to make it a positive tool, you know, on behalf of the gospel.
Chet, thank you very much. That's an excellent comment. That's an excellent comment. I mean, after all, what if it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone says, I'm going to make a movie about the life of Muhammad? That would be a compelling story. I mean, think about it. You got visions from jinn, you've got war, you've got exile, you've got a man marrying a 9-year-old girl. I mean, what more could you want? It's Lolita, Star Wars, and who knows what else all rolled into one. You make the movie of the life of Muhammad. I'd go see it. Don't think for a minute that Muslims in this country and worldwide wouldn't also be interested in seeing, what is this Jesus passion thing that they're talking about? I'll go see this movie and find out who this... It certainly does not depict Jesus as a prophet alone. And it would certainly run counter to the Jesus they say they believe in as Muslims. Just to mention one, who wasn't crucified and whose blood didn't pay for the price of the sins of all mankind. He's got a point. With only a minute here before we go to a break, Andy is calling from Los Angeles. Andy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. I guess this follows up a little bit about whether or not the resurrection would be depicted. I would also be concerned if it isn't subtitled. I wouldn't see it if it weren't subtitled, because I feel like it would be a pretty incomplete message just to have an image but no words that go along with it.
You know, I've been struggling with this, Andy, and that's a good question to raise. When I talked with Father Arroyo about this, he had seen the unsubtitled last half of the movie, and he said he went in very suspicious about whether the message, the actual narrative facts, could be depicted when the language was foreign. And he said he came out saying, he said he kept him riveted, he kept him interested, and he said it was not a barrier. And to a person, every single person who's seen any section of the movie, and there have been people who have actually previewed parts of the movie beyond Arroyo, have said, you know, like it or not, without subtitles, if you put subtitles in this thing, it might distract from actually telling the story. I mean, I understand your concern, but at this point, people are saying it's not a barrier. But I do understand your concern about image over words. And that's something I'm simply going to have to wait and see the movie to make a determination on that. Thank you very much, Andy, for the call. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Are you going to see Mel Gibson's Passion movie? If so, why? If not, why not? Again, another prediction. I think you might find after the movie comes out, Christians apologizing for the movie. Oh, we're sorry it depicted Jesus in such a bloody state. We'll clean it up. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What do we know about Dietrich Bonhoeffer other than his failed attempt to assassinate Adolf Hitler? What can we learn today from the life and times of this German theologian of the early 20th century? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Till the Night Be Past. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section. Till the Night Be Past is a biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer written by the late Theodor Kleinhans. In this book, you'll find out what motivated Bonhoeffer's classic writings, Life Together and the Cost of Discipleship. This book is available for $15.99 plus shipping and handling. Till the Night Be Past, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on India, where Christians need to keep a positive relationship with the local government in each state. An evangelistic crusade recently took place in India with over 4,000 people attending. Some state government and federal government officials attended as well. The event was sponsored by India Evangelical Mission, and they thanked IEM for caring for the poor and needy and for doing evangelistic work. However, in a completely different state, during a separate event, a pastor who was visiting from the United States was attacked by angry people using machetes. Some Hindu elements want to make India a Hindu nation instead of a secular country. Pray for evangelists with India Evangelical Mission to focus on Christ and have good relationships. Pray for India with a free brochure called To India with Love. Call 1-800-268-0461. That's 1-800-268-0461.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. The daily routine easily becomes too much. Assaulted by pressures, struggling with feelings, no sense of satisfying purpose. The hamster runs mindlessly on its treadmill. We can identify. Participating in the church helps Jesus' followers see beyond the cage, to be reminded we live in two time zones, body here, yet soul above, as one hymn says it. Today offers one of those transcending opportunities, the day the church's calendar honors Mary Magdalene. Because Mary's hometown of Magdala had a whoring reputation, tradition labeled her a call girl. Fact is, the Bible doesn't say that. Mary did have some kind of physical or emotional disease that Jesus had healed, Luke 8:2. Her response to Jesus was to become one of his most prominent followers. Had Mary only run the daily treadmill, she would be no special encouragement to us. Her devotion to her deliverer is what we remember. God has set eternity in the hearts of men, says Ecclesiastes 3:11. The transcendent look outside our cage helps the Spirit reset our clocks, body here, yet soul above.
I'm Emma Wilkin. Join me every weekday morning for a fun Bible quiz that kids, and only kids, can play. Listen for my question each morning at 9:05 during Paul Clayton's morning show. Call with the right answer and win. Winners of the Bible Brain Teaser for kids only will get cool prize packages from Concordia Christian Books and Gifts. It's the Bible Brain Teaser for kids only here on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Open Lines. Before we go back to the phones, our Issues Etc. book of the month for July, it's called Till the Night Be Past. It is a complete and very readable biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Till the Night Be Past, The Life and Times of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The book costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. Now, you can order the book in the next 90 minutes by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can order any time of day or night by going online to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you're going to find information on the Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Till the Night Be Past, The Life and Times of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. for the next 25 minutes. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Will Wheaton joins us for part four of our 10-part series on the historic liturgy. Let's go back to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your answer to this question, are you going to see Mel Gibson's Passion movie when it comes out? Don is calling from Creve Coeur. Don, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I am definitely going to see the movie. The depiction of the cross, I hope, is very graphic and very painful and difficult to watch. We're talking about the whole point of Jesus' life on earth was to go to the cross. He's going to experience the wrath of mankind, the wrath of the devil, and the wrath of God all alone. I think it's going to be very painful to watch, but, you know, we have painted such a feminized Jesus as this soft, warm, cuddly teddy bear, and he was a man who had such great love and passion for the Father and mankind that he took all of this. And I think it's going to give Christians a lot to talk about to the world and to explain the gospel.
Don, thank you very, very much. That was excellent. A man hanging on the cross. The amazing thing is, you know, I don't know if any of you heard this, but Hank Hanegraaff very recently put out a kind of a feature-length thing that he has been doing on the false teaching of the Word Faith movement. And I listened to it when I was in, where was I? Oh, I was in Denver recently on my way up to Wyoming, and I had an opportunity to listen to it, and then I listened to it again, just catching it. I don't know when it was on. Very shortly, over the weekend, I think, after I came back. And Hanegraaff narrates this thing, interspersed with the ramblings and ravings of various Word Faith teachers. One of these guys actually says, Jesus wore designer clothes. Jesus had money. Jesus had the best of everything. Blah-de-de-blah-blah-blah. Blah, blah. What a different depiction of Jesus than that which is found in the Gospels. Especially, how do you get a Jesus in designer clothes who's got the best of everything from there to where he is on the cross, stripped of everything, naked, hanging on a cross for all to see? And I think Don put it well, there under the wrath of man, Satan, and God all at once and all alone. Our phone numbers are 505-780-1800-730-2727. As I said before, the best callers in this hour get a copy of Brian Godawa's book called Hollywood Worldviews. Barbara is calling from Baldwin. Barbara, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I just want to say that I rarely go to the movies. I might go once every 3 years. But I really, if this movie stays true to Scripture, I really hope and pray I'll have the courage to see it, because I don't think that I really appreciate what my Lord and Savior has done for me. So if I see it and it can give me a deeper appreciation of what he went through for me and help me grow in my love of him, I really want to see it.
Barbara, thank you so much. You know, this is the tension for me. Is there will be a lot of people who will see this movie merely for the sake of the spectacle. Some will just see it just out of idle curiosity. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm anxious to see the Passion movie when it comes out. You know, we have to wait a year or so, but when it comes out, I'm anxious to see it. I'll have to see it, to be quite honest with you. I won't have a choice, because we'll be talking about it here, without a doubt. But I don't want to go there simply to witness the spectacle. And I don't want to go there simply to get a deeper insight into what the Bible has to say, the kind of the detailed graphic view. I know that when I open the Bible and read the account of the Passion there in God's Word, that Word has the power to strengthen faith and deepen that trust in Jesus Christ, my Savior. That Word has the power to do it. I don't know, you know, just as a little caveat to her call, I don't know whether or not the movie will have the power to do that on anything but an emotional level. Do you see what I'm saying? On anything but an emotional level. Now, the key here is what she said. If the movie is true to Scripture, well, then it's God's Word again, doing the strengthening. Not the images, not the good acting, not the brilliant score, not the gore, not the production values, not anything, not the script. But insofar as it is faithful to Scripture, Scripture remains powerful to strengthen faith. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, I stopped off there in the middle of Medved's review of The Passion. This is what he has to say. He's not actually reviewing the movie. He's reviewing those who have critiqued the movie. This is what he says. The plea that Gibson's movie should place exclusive blame for the crucifixion on Roman authorities contradicts not only the mainstream of Christian teaching, but also elements of Jewish tradition. In a courageous piece in the National Jewish Weekly, The Forward, Orthodox scholar David Klinghoffer points to Jewish sources more than 1,000 years old that, quote, teach that Jesus died at least partly thanks to decisions taken by his fellow Jews. Ironically, the new debate over these issues comes at a time of unprecedented cooperation between Jews and Christians. Since 9/11 and the chilling wave of homicide bombings in Israel, Jewish Americans have increasingly abandoned their instinctive fear of Christian evangelicals to make common cause with them in the defense of the Middle East's only democracy. This troubles liberal activists who worry over the ever-increasing influence of religious traditionalism in American life. The Anti-Defamation League, for instance, has been outspokenly critical of the so-called Christian right for more than 20 years, despite the unstinting support for Israel by these conservatives. In this context, the dispute over the Passion draws attention from the virulent, dangerous anti-Semitism emerging from the Islamic world and instead refocuses concern on the long-tortured history of hatred of Jews by Christians. The controversy also raises the question, about Christian conservatives who have conspicuously embraced many of Gibson's recent projects, including Patriot and We Were Soldiers. The beleaguered director hopes to discredit his critics with his movie's artistic quality. In almost plaintive tones, Gibson insists it always has been his intention that The Passion would, quote, unify people rather than divide them. If I could just add a comment there, with all due respect to Mr. Gibson, fat chance. The truth, it does unite, but it also divides. Truth always divides those who embrace error from those who embrace truth. It unites those who embrace the truth. Perhaps his efforts may yet achieve an uplifting ending to the story of his production, allowing the ADL to go back to doing what it does so effectively, concentrate on the real dangers to Jews from real enemies who wish us real harm, writes Medved. Certainly the Islamic terrorists and their sympathizers who loathe both Zionists and Crusaders can only smile at the utterly gratuitous division between the two faiths over an unfinished movie. That's Michael Medved writing in USA Today about The Passion movie. Passion elicits unfair conflict. Are you going to see the movie, The Passion? Waiting for someone who isn't going to see it. And I'm anxious to know why. Larry is calling from his car. Larry, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Pastor Todd. I would definitely go see the movie. I've heard a lot about it and how it's supposed to be accurate. You're saying that would be rather graphic, and I think that would be interesting to see. It wouldn't cause me to believe in gospel any more or less. But, I think it's interesting you're saying that, he's putting the blame on the Romans, and I think that's interesting because he is Roman Catholic, so I'm just wondering why he would do that.
Well, he's not putting the blame on the Romans. There are those of his critics who want him to place the blame on the Roman Empire and leave it off of the Jews, and Medved was simply saying, well, that's too convenient. You can place it on a long dead empire and not go along with what he says is really honest scholarship. And he mentions David Klinghoffer, who said, you know, the Jews, based upon the best evidence of at least 1,000 years ago, admit that the death of Jesus was partly due to decisions taken by his fellow Jews, to quote Klinghoffer. So it's not Gibson who wants to. I think Gibson wants to stay true to form to the Gospels,
right.
which I would say probably indict both Jesus' Jewish enemies and the Romans for their complicity.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think Gibson is to be commended for taking on this the effort that he is, and I think that I would definitely go see it.
You're going to go see it. Good.
Yeah,
Larry, thank you very much. Sandy's calling from Alton. Sandy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I won't go see it, but I will rent it. My husband and I do not usually go to the movies. And quite frankly, I would like to hear a lot of the feedback and discussion. I'm looking forward to that before I am able to see it myself.
Now, that's interesting you say that, Sandy, because that very reason is why I want to see it before the buzz.
Is that so?
See, I want to see it as tabula rasa as I possibly can.
Yes,
and,
well...
And I'm required by the nature of this job to keep my ear to the ground about these kind of things, and therefore I'm going to have to read this and that and the pro and the con. And then, see, whenever I've done this with a movie, I go in and I cannot help but be influenced by the various opinions I've heard about it, and to be quite honest, you know, if I hear someone says, well, so-and-so's acting, you know, just in human terms,
right,
so-and-so's
right.
acting was weak, I go in watching a movie, if I know that in advance, looking for weaknesses.
That's funny, because I like things in the opposite. I do have an additional comment.
Yeah.
People are calling and mentioning that it will probably be quite graphic. And I've always wondered, maybe you have an answer or some kind of solution for my mind. I have a copy of a Catholic Bible and, of course, the King James and you know, the Protestant Bibles. The description in the Gospel writings about the crucifixion are the same. The writing is the Bibles are the same as far as those descriptions. Historically, we now have an understanding how gruesome crucifixion was. And yet, why is it that, you know, Protestants generally are appalled and are offended by a crucifix, and yet Roman Catholic Christians, Orthodox Christians, and some Reformation Christians, including myself, absolutely have a desire to embrace a crucifix?
Sandy, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I got a simple answer. It's called Romophobia. You've heard of homophobia? I call it Romophobia. Anything Roman, there. If they could hold up a silver crucifix to ward it off, they would, but they can't because they're afraid of the crucifix. So I will tell you why, really. I will tell you why all of us, at least according to the old man, all of us by our sinful nature find the crucifix repulsive, scandalous. It's because of the man it depicts. And the deed it depicts him carrying out. I was walking out of a church, actually shaking hands at the door of a church I preached at recently. And this is not an uncommon thing. I wear a black robe, just a simple black robe, to preach, and a very large wooden crucifix. And when I say very large, most people think I am, but very large. Wait till you see it. It's big. I want it to be clear, no matter where you're sitting in the church, when I step in the pulpit, what this is all about. It's about Christ and Him crucified. But I had a lady who walked by and shaking my hands, and she said, I got to go, but if I had time, I'd like to talk to you about that. And she pointed at my crucifix hanging around my neck. And I said, well, I don't want to keep you, but what do you mean? She says, I have three of them at home. Now, usually when someone says, I don't got time to talk to you, but I want to talk to you about that, and they point at the crucifix, what they mean is that thing, that disgusting thing hanging around your neck, that depiction of Jesus crucified. You know, Christians have no reason, except maybe Romophobia or ignorance, to despise any depiction, verbal, a picture, yes, even a crucifix. And this woman said, I said, why do you have, I asked her, because usually people ask me, why do you wear a crucifix? Usually they say, I thought Lutherans don't wear crucifixes. And I say, yes, they do. It's just of late that they've adopted the Protestant practice of not wearing them. But I said, why do you have three at home? She said, I want to be reminded, no matter what room I walk into my house, that that's where he did it. That's where it happened. That's where my forgiveness was won. You know, that's why I wear a crucifix, too. I want to be reminded, and I want to remind those who see me publicly like that, that this is where it happened. It happened on a cross that looked not unlike this one, and this is what was done. This is where it was finished. When Jesus hung dead on the cross, it was finished. It was done. It wasn't the only thing he was going to do, because, of course, he was going to rise again after 3 days. But an empty cross doesn't necessarily send the message of a raised Jesus. Think about it this way, for all those who say, I wear an empty cross because Jesus didn't stay on the cross. You're right, he didn't. He was taken down dead, and for 3 days, that cross was empty. but he was still dead. If you want to wear something around your neck that gets the resurrection across clearly, I guess you could wear an empty tomb, but even then, the tomb was empty before he went into it. Remember, no man had ever been laid there. Why have Christians gravitated toward the cross, and in particular the crucifix, as a symbol? And it's nothing more than a symbol. It's not a magic talisman or anything like that. It is a symbol like all other symbols, all the fish, the dove, the empty cross. Why have they gravitated toward the crucifix? Because it's the clearest way of saying, here is where it happened. This is what he did. He's not asleep on that cross. He's not swooning. He's dead. The amazing thing is, Christians, I imagine there will be some Christians who would never be caught dead with a crucifix around their neck to remind themselves of that crucifixion, who will go see this movie and all of its blood and gore and say, best thing I ever saw. I'm glad Mel Gibson made that movie. Yeah, he's one of those wacky Roman Catholics, but boy, he made a great movie. Oh, but I'm not going to wear a crucifix. I said this before, there are churches where they won't even acknowledge their Christianity in a simple symbol like a cross. Maybe they're trying to keep it under wraps until people get drawn in. They say that seekers find it offensive. Sooner or later, you got to deal with the man hanging dead on the cross. Until you get there, until the message, the image, whatever it is, gets you there with Jesus dead on a cross, you don't have Christianity. You don't have the Christian faith. Period. You've got the teachings of someone who may have promised to be the Messiah, but until he's up on the cross, dead for you, having paid for your sins, you don't have the Christian faith. And Paul goes on to say, unless he's off that cross and out of the tomb after 3 days, you also don't have the Christian faith. But the simplest way to depict what it is Jesus did for us is simply to depict it. This is what he did. That's what I think is probably the compelling interest that Christians have in the Passion movie. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. This is what Rod Dreher has to say. It's very short, and I have time to read it for you. At least it comes to me by someone who put Rod Dreher after it, and I think that's probably where it came from. The New York Post's page 6, this is their media gossip column, ran an item this week predicting the box office doom for Mel Gibson's Jesus movie, The Passion. The item quotes an unnamed source predicting the film will fail because it's too graphically violent. You can get an idea of what this source is talking about if you go to, and he names a website. I'm not going to name it because it's a little kooky, and I don't want to shut him down either because it was shut down when I was trying to get on and see the trailer. He says the trailer is viewable on the web. Also, Gibson apparently doesn't want to subtitle the movie, which was filmed in Aramaic and Latin, the actual languages spoken in the Holy Land of Jesus' day. The subtitle thing could be a problem, but I find it very hard to believe that violence would keep adult viewers away. Gibson has said he wanted to depict the actual physical agony involved in the crucifixion. Every single Christian I've talked to who has seen the trailer appeared deeply affected by it. And they said they wanted to see the film more than ever. With Christianity, the Passion and crucifixion are so ever-present that it's easy to forget about how much pain the man Jesus endured. Dreher says, I went to Mass last Sunday after seeing the Passion trailer, and I looked at the bloodless crucifix above the altar with different eyes. This movie is going to be an enormous hit, says Dreher, if only it overcomes the Hollywood whispering campaign against it and gets released. So again, you're sitting in church on Sunday, and you ask two questions of what you hear said, what you sing, what your pastor preaches. Think of it in terms of the Gibson movie, if you will. A good pastor friend of mine said he was taught in the seminary there ought to be blood all over your sermon. The blood of Jesus ought to drench your sermon. Now, this is going to be a bloody movie. We're going to see the blood of Jesus, at least depicted in its cinematic form, being poured out for the sins of the world. I hope no one misses that this isn't merely spectacle, but this is an actual depiction in cinematic form, of course, of a real event that Jesus, the real man who is God, underwent for us, for us. I'd be happy if the movie ended with the crucifixion and didn't go on to the resurrection. I wouldn't be very happy, but I'd be happy if it all ended with just two giant words across the screen. For you. For you. But ask yourself when you go into church on Sunday morning, it ought to be the Gibson movie every Sunday. Blood ought to be soaking your pastor's sermon. If he spends all his time talking about handy advice for the Christian life, this and that, and how to do this, and laundry lists of things to do this week to improve your Christian walk or grow deeper in your Christian lifestyle, stories about himself, his vacation, the amazing thing he said to someone last week. He's wasting your time. Tell him when he's shaking your hand on the way out from church, tell him, Pastor, I went to see that trailer of the Passion movie by Mel Gibson. Why is it that Mel Gibson, a Hollywood actor, does a better job of placarding Christ and him crucified before my eyes than you do? He's a Hollywood actor. He doesn't have to do this. We called you to do this. Where was Jesus? And where was Jesus, not my therapist, my best friend, my amorous lover, my teddy bear, my security blanket, where was Jesus dead on the cross and alive again after 3 days? I'll tell you what, if he doesn't have an answer for that, if he says, we don't do that around here, leave. Don't walk to the doors, run to the doors and never come back. I think about it this way. If you can get more gospel from a Hollywood movie, if you can get more Christ and him crucified for you from a Hollywood movie than you can get from your pastor, something is terribly wrong. We ought to be able to count on it. We ought to be able to count, as one of our callers says, on that uncomfortable experience of hearing every Sunday, uncomfortable as it is, that our sins put him there. And that our sins did this to him. We, as the apostle so aptly accuses the post-resurrection audience, we did this to him, and he did this for us. We'll be right back to talk about the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.